And some of them come in really strong with, I don't know why people treat these students any differently. They're just like us. And yeah. there's a lot of like, you have to listen to what they need. And you have to understand like what their goals are instead of just assuming that they will do what you want them to do. There's so much understanding that comes from what they say, but a lot of what they'll reflect on is like, I've never learned so much in this time because I've never had to work with someone that thought differently than me. And now I can see like all the value they bring and the value that I can add. And it's great to just see what these students come up with and what they've gathered in a very short amount of time. You know, our extended school year is only a few weeks.
Yeah.
And so every year they've done it 3 years now. And every year there's always something that blows me away with what they reflect on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Jana Courtney, and my special guest today is Megan Hsu. Megan is the Special Education Program Manager at Sunnyvale Elementary School District in Sunnyvale, California. It just sounds lovely. Sunnyvale just sounds lovely. Megan, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about what's happening at Sunnyvale Elementary School.
Yeah, so we have 10 schools in our school district, and 8 of them are elementary, 2 of them are middle schools. And we have quite a strong special education team, and there are a lot of wonderful things happening. We have such a strong team, actually. The last 3 years, our teacher of the year has been a special education teacher.
Love that so much. Yeah.
Yeah, they do wonderful things. So a lot of what's happening, they, of course, do what has been given to them as their assignment, but so many of them go beyond that. We have reverse inclusion happening. We have a lot of celebrations of like autism awareness, Down syndrome awareness. They don't just celebrate it, but they make a point of having the students present in the different classrooms about their disability as well as their strengths to build that understanding and foster that inclusive behavior from a young age. So nice. Their peers understand that they're just like them.
Yeah. And ownership and understanding why they're getting the services that they're getting. That's incredibly important. And I love that. It's something I'm hearing over and over again that, you know, it's not something that we necessarily did early on in my career. I've been a therapist for 31 years. But as I got older and more experienced, I got to the point where it was like, so do you understand why you're in speech therapy? You know, and helping them to understand why they were in speech therapy and what their goals were is critical. I mean, it's like, how can I meet a goal if you don't even tell me what the goal is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, So tell me about some of these programs that they're doing, because it sounds really cool.
Yeah. So reverse inclusion is a practice that happens a lot in our more extensive needs classrooms. Some of those students might not quite be ready to be going into their general education classrooms for a significant amount of time. Of course, all of our students will go for lunch, recess, specials, but for some of the academic periods, they might be further behind than is reasonable to have them in that classroom where they can receive an education that's meaningful to them. Mm-hmm. So in preparing our students to get to that point, some of our teachers are doing reverse inclusion, which means they bring the general education peers into the special education space. So that's very powerful for many reasons. It allows just them to have access to their peers and to have peer mm-hmm. models. But I think also what people don't think about sometimes is how powerful that is for their general education peers, because you're bringing them into the space and saying there's nothing wrong with the space. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a space where you can belong to. And so we have students that at the school that our current teacher of the year is at, she has the students come in, and general education students are very comfortable in her space. And there was one who told her at the end of last year, I didn't know what I wanted to be. And people always ask me, I never knew, but now I know I want to be like you. Right. And that is really cool. Like, you know,
yeah,
we need teachers. And so when we start finding them young, I think it's wonderful.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how did they sell this to the school? Because I mean, you're pulling them during the academic day into, I mean, I think it's fantastic. But I can see where you might get some resistance. So how did they make that happen?
Yes. So it started at one of our middle schools. And for them, it's a little easier because they have a leadership class that works very closely with our students go to leadership. So they're already part of that program. So the leadership students actually approached our special education teacher and said, like, we want to organize something like this. And so they set it up. So it's during the time that's already set aside outside of academics. And it got so big that they couldn't have it in a classroom anymore. They had to use the multipurpose room because so many students wanted to participate. At the elementary level, it is a little trickier. And a lot of times when you introduce it to a team that doesn't quite understand the whole process, the first question is, like, isn't that going to lead to learning loss, right, from these general education peers that are leaving the space? So what we generally do is it is like 6 to 8 weeks and we will have a group come through. And then after that, a different group, kind of like a cycle of intervention. We do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we make sure that parents know it's presented to them as an honor. So it's your child is doing so well in class. So we make sure it's a child that wouldn't be further behind from leaving class.
Right. It's not detrimental to them. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, this is such a great leadership opportunity. And we get parents to sign to agree to that period of time. And then they get pulled during that time. They always love it. And it really does build little advocates in our general education peers.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it isn't that they're not learning. They're learning something that's vital to equity and inclusion and making sure that they understand where kids that are moderate to severe are, what their life looks like and what their day looks like. And understanding is, you know, presenting something and allowing them to see that is the first step to understanding. So, and what a great program. And I love the fact that it started with kids. The kids started it and the kids said, hey, we want to be, because, you know, I think we've all seen those videos or all know that one kid that has a little brother or a little sister who has special needs or vice versa, an older student that is special needs and the younger one. And they just advocate like crazy for their sibling. And that's what you're doing. You're developing a whole bunch of advocates for these kids. It's amazing. That's awesome. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is wonderful. And I know you're an SLP. We actually had one of our strongest SLPs. Unfortunately, she had a baby and she took some time off. But prior to that, she was a big force at her school. So she made sure she understood past her own role. So she saw the importance of being in general education committees, you know, and she was part of site council. And so she had a lot of like social pull at her site. And so she would always do World Down Syndrome Day. They had two students at 1.3, I believe, that had Down syndrome, and they made it a whole school-wide celebration. So the entire week there were activities. So students would see that it wasn't just a one-day event. And they would make sure that they wore the right colors on that day. And during recess, they would have a dance party and there were like little competitions. And it just became such an event at their school that it really did begin to seep into everything that's done. She also would do a coffee cart, and there's a coffee cart at several of our sites where students will either make the coffee and bring it to teachers that ordered, or teachers will come in to the space and order from them. And so we have, this ranges from our littles, we have K2 that's doing this, to our students who are a little older, but non-speaking. So there's a lot of icons being used and the different coffee is labeled like a color. So the child will get the order, go find the color, and then go to their station, make the coffee, and then deliver it. So there's so much, like, as you know, there's so many skills there, more than just like what we see from the surface. But even more important, that SLP that was doing it, she made sure it was always in her room. So the gen ed teachers would come on their break and they would be in the space, interact with the kids, like see their value. And it really did change, I think, a lot of that community's view of what special education was. So it takes a lot of work sometimes outside of your typical role, but we have such strong staff that will go that extra step and really make it so it's the expectation. You know, it's not something that happens once in a while.
One thing I often hear from school leaders is, I just want a partner who puts students first. At Lighthouse Therapy, that's exactly what we do. We don't have outside investors and we don't answer to shareholders. Instead, we answer to school leaders like you, those listening to this podcast. Whether you're wanting virtual, hybrid, or in-person therapy, our systems are designed to make your life easier and your team stronger. We are a therapy company run by therapists for therapists for the betterment of students. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to learn how we can help you support your students this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, the kids get something that they wouldn't get otherwise, which, you know, they get to see the value of themselves and the ability to be successful and know that they can do something. You know, we've talked about a lot about them just being dependent, because they just this learned dependence, right? Learned helplessness, and that's not what they're teaching. You're teaching them. You're teaching them that they do have value. I mean, and I know that's not just within that setting, but just giving them that opportunity to talk to somebody. I used to always laugh because I'm like, as speech therapists, we would do social groups, and we'd put three children in a social group that had social disabilities. And it's like, and the only model that you would have is the SLP. And I'm like, wait a minute. Right. So we have, one of the things that we've talked about here extensively is mixed groups. Have a child that has a disability that is pragmatics, and then a child that has a language or an articulation or whatever. And then the model is the peer. Right. And then adding in, and I did this as well, as with always with parent permission and all of that good stuff. But a quote, normal child, like you were talking about, a gen ed student, we would bring in a student. My son actually was one for a while, and I would bring him into the pragmatics group so that they had a student besides the SLP who was, quote, the normal student. So that the pragmatics they could talk about and work together. And it's super fun. And it takes it out of, I mean, I'm 58. I'm a 58 year old woman who, you know, I don't know squat about Minecraft. You know, I know more, probably more now than I did before, but you know what I mean? When it started, I didn't know anything about Minecraft, and my son, who loved Minecraft at the time, would go in there and have these conversations, and they would start talking about all these different things that they'd done. And I'm like, I'm an extra in the room, you know, set it up and let them go and ask pointed questions to make sure that the conversation kept going. And it was more therapeutic than I could have done anyway on my own without, you know, a normal student. And so I get it. It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, that's fantastic. So so what kinds of outcomes are you guys seeing from this?
So there's a lot of anecdotal evidence, right, that we gather just from what we're hearing from students. But when we look at the hard data, we are seeing the ability to increase the time in general education. So that's always the goal, right? It's a free and appropriate public education.
Right.
So we need to push towards that. And sometimes we forget because we work around what's easiest for scheduling or for teachers, providers. But sometimes when you push children, you realize there's just so much that you didn't think they could do that they can so quickly do. But anecdotally, we have had, we do a summer buddies program in our ESY, in our extended school year, where middle school students, some of them with disabilities themselves, come in and peer mentor their like younger peers. And so they actually do a presentation at the end that always goes to our school board, and they'll do posters or PowerPoint presentations. And they always really hit it on the head. They always say it better than adults can. And it always comes out very clear too, right? Because they're not trying to make sure it's, you know, appropriate for the audience. Right. They're just saying what they experience. And some of them come in really strong with, I don't know why people treat these students any differently. They are just like us. And there's a lot of like, you have to listen to what they need, and you have to understand like what their goals are instead of just assuming that they will do what you want them to do. There's so much understanding that comes from what they say. But a lot of what they'll reflect on is like, I've never learned so much in this time because I've never had to work with someone that thought differently than me. And now I can see like all the value they bring and the value that I can add. And it's great to just see what these students come up with and what they've gathered in a very short amount of time. You know, our extended school year is only a few weeks.
Yeah.
And so every year they've done it 3 years now. And every year there's always something that blows me away with what they reflect on.
Amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Kids are just, you know, I mean, we do what we do because of things exactly like that. You know, it's like educators, there is so much that you get back by being an educator. You know, just it's stuff that you just, you can't always quantify it, you know, and it's like, it's a tough job and it doesn't pay well. And we know that. And you know, all of those things that we hear about being in education, and it isn't respected as much as it needs to be. And that's why we're here. That's why we're talking about it. That's why Brighter Together exists and this podcast exists, because people need to know. But that kind of stuff, you can't put a dollar amount on it. You just can't, because it's amazing. It's just, it's a feeling that you take with you, and you get story after story after story. How many stories do you have? Can you even count them?
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah,
amazing. Absolutely amazing. So so where do people go, Megan, if they want to learn more? Because I know people are going to have questions. How did you, you know, I've tried to catch as many as I could. How did you get it going? How did you get parents involved? How do you, you know, did you have any, that's a good question. Have you had any pushback from parents at all about this program?
Not that I know of. So I think if there's any question of whether the child can afford to lose the time in class, then the parent just wouldn't sign. But overall, there's no, it's very positive across the schools that this is great. There's no hiding that we're special education.
Oh, no,
there's no hiding what we're doing. And it's great. And we have a lot of really strong parent advocates that will walk alongside us to make these things happen.
Awesome. Awesome. So where do people go if they want to learn more, or if they have questions about what you're doing? Give them a place to go so they can find you.
Yeah. I mean, they can reach out to me directly. It's just my name, megan.hsu@sesd.org. We have our Sunnyvale website. It does not have as much information on our programs. It's very much just a broader sense of what we do. And then one of my special education teachers, actually our teacher of the year, and I go to conferences and we speak about AI in education, actually, and how to incorporate new technology into what we do. And we have a website that is edumated.com, like with an M. And so there's information on some of what we do on there.
Awesome. Awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah. AI is it ain't going away. It is. It is not going away. That's for sure. And we're gonna have to embrace it. I've said that before a couple of times too, where it's just like, you know, we've got to. It's a part of who we are and as a society. And it just is, it's coming so fast. It really is.
Right.
So
yeah. And we try to actually push, we're not trying to replace teachers. We're actually trying to help educators build things. You know, if you have an app that's broken or it costs too much for the district to fund, you can build it yourself, you know, in minutes. And so we do a lot of like build togethers and to show people how easy it is.
Yeah. My husband is our CTO and he uses AI for our billing. He has Python. He went out on AI and had AI help him build a Python script so that he can run the data through the Python. And I just go, you're so smart. I'm not. I kind of get it. But, you know, I mean, and AI does that. It does that now. And it's really amazing. And boy, he took 2 days off of the time. It put a lot on his plate as far as like our billing and billing and payroll goes. But boy, boom, in 10 seconds, it takes 16,000 pieces of data in less than 30 seconds and creates all of our invoices. And then we just have to clean them up a little bit, but it's beautiful. I was like,
yeah, it's incredible.
It is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. And I always tell people he's so smart and, you know, he's like, you know, I'm like, you just don't give yourself enough credit. But I've been telling him that for 30 years. So there you go. Awesome. So, well, Megan, thank you. It has been a pleasure to have you on Brighter Together and what you guys are doing. Kids, you know, anytime that we can pull down that barrier and allow kids to see other kids and to have them just work together is a beautiful thing. So thank you. And thank you for your teachers and the work that they're doing. You're making a difference, obviously.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.